What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following program is presented by the HTM Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Talk in partnership with TheChairShot.com, presented by the Hitting the Marks Podcast Network and in association with NDPW.com. Turnbuckle Talk is sponsored by CollarAndElbowBrand.com, where you get 10% off when using promo code JKPodcast. Turnbuckle Talk is also partnered with Phoenix at FNXFit.com, where you get 15% off all your health supplements simply by using promo code TBTalkPod. Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at TB Talk Pod. Listen on Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere you catch your favorite programs. And now, pro wrestling fanatics, are you ready? Here are your hosts, Mighty Joe Morin and Carl Carafell.
All right, guys, Mighty Joe Morin here back on Turnbuckle Talk. As you heard from our friend Mr. Richard Bronson Vicker, who happens to be with us here today, we're here for another episode of Turnbuckle Talk, minus Carl Carafell. He had some other obligations to take care of here today. So I am joined by two of my, potentially a third, if he decides to show up here. First off, we have Mr. Michael Jargo from the Hitting the Marks podcast and Destino. Welcome back to Turnbuckle Talk, sir.
Always good to be here, man. You know, I will never get over RBV just yelling at me at the beginning of every one of your shows. It kind of reminds me of a Dolph Ziggler promo.
Right, right. And of course, as we had just mentioned, Mr. RBV back on Turnbuckle Talk. Welcome back, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say, I was kind of looking through my phone here as we got the countdown, and I just forgot about it. It's like, boom, like, wait a minute, that's me.
Yep, it's a...
Yes, like Ziggler. I have the good looks, and I am here to sell, baby.
Yes, absolutely. And hopefully at some point we'll be joined by our friend, Mr. Ryan K. Bowman. He's actually in the process of, I believe, in purchasing a new home. So some good stuff there for Ryan, but he might drop in to say hi and, and talk on some of our topics here. But be some good stuff here. But let's kick off, guys, with I think one of the bigger pieces of news to kind of rear its ugly head during the week here. We're talking Peacock and the WWE Network censoring a bunch of the content on there. I'm going to start with you, Jared. What's your take on some of this censorship kind of going on with this?
I was actually on the Monday locker room with Ben Hameen and Dr. Manbeast and Omar Akbar this morning. We were actually talking about this, and the problem as I see it is they're trying to treat professional wrestling like it's just another scripted TV show.
Yeah.
If this was the NBA, Would they be going in and editing out, you know, that play that happened between the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers at, you know, the 10:36 mark of the third quarter when Kevin McHale just clotheslined James Worthy? Like, are we gonna edit that out too? Like, you have to treat it more like a sporting event because there's so much of this stuff. Like, one of the first things that's gonna go is gonna be Mizark Henry, right?
Yep.
That entire promo is. Is he in blackface? Yeah. Does it absolutely add to that moment? Yeah. I don't feel like pro wrestling is one of those things where you can go through and, like, you can pick and choose about what it is that you want to. I mean, pro wrestling's offensive. It's kind of like stand-up comedy. Exactly. At its best, you should be offended by at least 50% of the show.
Right. Especially when half the we're talking half of the guys are bad guys. Yes, just by its very nature, some of the content, some of the things that they're going to say are going to be offensive. That is just the nature of the beast. And
that's how it works. Yeah, I mean, the bad guy gets
you're
beaten,
supposed to be offended.
Like, that's literally how pro wrestling works.
Right? You're supposed to be offended. But yeah, and you know, one of my favorites, Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper, also on the list, you know, the Bad News Brown segment. I mean, that's again, that's one of those things where, yeah, people are going to get offended by it. But I mean, dude, I mean,
the problem is, you know, where you cross the line.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
And what is the line, right? And it's like when you go back, you know, in an off wrestling topic, when you go back and say, if you go and buy some Looney Tunes DVDs, like if you're to buy like a set of that these days, when you watch it, there's a big disclaimer at the front. You know, the show is a product of its times, and some of the subject matter is of an offensive nature. I don't know exactly how they word it, but it's the thing where, I mean, just it's like everybody can get offended by everything these days, so they're just covering their ass. But I mean, are we just going to just forget everything that's happened beforehand? What do you think, Rick?
Well, what really gets me here is the people that are upset or even surprised by this. I mean, you look at the society that we're living in. We're in cancer culture. I mean, it's always been there, but now it's so more prevalent now. It's so more out there because, you know, people have a larger platform. There's more platforms that you can voice your opinions. And Jargo, he brings up a great point there. When he's talking about the presentation and how you treat it, the company themselves, the WWE, they've been trying to move away from that sports theme. They're sports entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they sold this to Peacock. And when they're going in there selling, you know, to NBC, to, you know, they've already got them on the hook with the USA deal. You know, they have convinced this company, and Fox as well in there, I mean, to give them billions of dollars for a garbage product. Yeah. So, and that's how they went in there and sold that. They didn't sell it as sports.
Nope.
They went in there and that's what they want to be. They want to be television.
Yep. When you look at the bigger picture of all of this, though, and Rick, this is something that we were talking about literally years ago when we were doing the Hitting the Marks Pro Wrestling podcast. They have sold the network. What is left? What is left for Vincent Kennedy McMahon as the CEO of WWE? And the only thing that's left is to sell the entire goddamn company and cash out.
Yep.
Well, that's the only thing that is left for them to do.
Yep. Your next move there is to actually begin selling those intellectual properties. I mean, because they still retain the rights. I mean, they own the libraries. It's more of a lease term here, but eventually that next move is to start moving all those properties to, like, get them away from your company, your ownership.
Mr. Generic Facebook user, I've never seen that actually come up that way in the comments before. They should set a RoboCop in WCW. Yes, Mr. Facebook user. Yeah, I guess you would be correct.
Well, I mean, if we're going to start getting into things, if we're going to cancel anything that was offensive, world-class championship wrestling never happened. The entire freaking promotion, gone.
It just never happened, yeah.
Mid-South, gone.
Yeah. Attitude era gone. You know,
what's actually devastating about that, and, you know, people shouldn't be surprised. I mean, they should have seen this coming, that they were going to, you know, when I saw it, I was like, well, it's just a matter of time before they're going to start editing things out here. But what you're going to lose here is what was nice about the WWE Network for a true wrestling fan, it was that capability that you could go watch, relive those things.
Yeah. And they've already ruined it without the search function, they've taken so much away from the network, just in the presentation of the network, that now when you start getting into edited content, like we were talking on the Monday Locker Room, you remember the match between The Rock and Mick Foley and it's I quit. Yeah. And The Rock hits him in the head with a chair. How many times? At what point is it offensive? At what point is it after the third chair shot to the head unprotected while he's got his hands handcuffed behind him? Or was it the seventh chair? Maybe it was the 13th chair shot. Yeah. Like, at where do you draw the goddamn line? Well, and if you want to be good for the goose, good for the gander, are we going to get rid of the early years of The Rock? Because I don't know, the whole Nation of Domination thing.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of racial undertone to that, or is
just
that
a
okay?
little bit, just a little bit.
Like,
yeah.
Where do you draw the line? And you're already catering to a niche of a niche of a niche of a niche audience to try to bring in these wrestling fans. You're going to start editing their content. That's all we want to watch. The Monday Night Wars is still the top rated stuff on the network.
Yes, sir. And
you tune in for the violence.
Yeah.
ECW is going to be gone. I mean, there was domestic dispute.
How they crucified? They crucified Sandman. They crucified him literally. You know,
that was already gone.
Yeah.
You think people?
I don't know about that one. Yeah.
People are offended by what Will Ospreay did to Bea Priestley at the end of the New Japan Cup. Does anybody want to talk about the Beulah pregnancy angle? I mean, right.
Right. But, one thing to make note of with this here is that, to the best of my knowledge, all right, now this is really only a factor with our American friends with the network here in Canada and other places. So far, we're unaffected by that. The network is still as is. So just
a matter of time.
Right?
It's a matter of time before
just
they
a matter of time.
Whoever your big, one of your big networks up there to bite on this.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I mean, I'm not sure what our affiliation would be within NBC in Canada, but it's potentially a matter of time. Javier saying it's a real shame of the WWE's limiting wrestling history as they deem fit to the victor seems to go with the spoils. Yeah.
Well, it comes down to this. They pitched it as a television program to a bunch of people who have no idea about what professional wrestling is.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's just NBC Universal showing their freaking ignorance in the way that they're trying to do this.
Jugger, you're muted.
No, I can hear him. I can hear him.
Are we all muted?
No.
No?
No.
I think it's you, buddy.
It's me.
Watch that button there. But it's annoying because like it's revisionist history essentially is kind of what's happening here on a wrestling scale or specifically with WWE. Or it's like we're just gonna at some point we're just gonna pretend that none of that ever happened. And
I mean, there are basically three movies on the face of the planet that everybody considers the top three movies ever made. We can argue about order, right? There's Casablanca, which they are editing.
Yep.
There's Gone with the Wind, which they are editing. And there's Citizen Kane, which nobody's touching because nobody cares, even though it's recognized as the greatest movie of all time. It really sucks.
Yeah. You could throw Godfather probably into the mix, too. There's a lot of things that they could edit out of that, too. Right?
Oh, man. Talk about cultural appropriation.
Right?
My God.
Right. Yeah. It's just a shame. And again, you guys have kind of hit on it. NBC not knowing anything about wrestling, I think is part
of
the problem.
They've been in this business for how long now?
Right. But and it's partially it's WWE's fault for pitching them the product, I think, the way it is too, right? I guess
it's not WWE's fault. WWE made $1 billion or a couple billion dollars off of this. They're going to sell it however they can.
That's a fair
what
statement.
What people have to realize is Vince McMahon does not care about you. Vince
true.
McMahon is running
You're not
the
lying.
Business.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon is trying to make as much money as he possibly can, and he doesn't care if you don't get to watch your Roddy Piper promo from 1984.
That's true. Yep, I guess he's maybe just hoping you got it recorded somewhere. And if you want to go and watch it that way, then pull up the VHS tapes, I guess.
There's YouTube, man.
There's
Everything's
YouTube.
On YouTube. It's just
are they going to pull that too, though?
It was so put together. It was so sleek. The design was incredible. And now we're just throwing that in the trash. And I'm pretty sure people will just turn it off and go to the Hacker Hameen style of watching the current pay-per-views and whatnot.
Yeah.
Unless you want to watch The Office, which, you know, at what
Everybody wants to watch The Office.
Yeah, but at what point, okay, are we going to start editing The Office? Because let me tell you, there is some shit in The Office that, you know, is pretty damn offensive. What makes it fucking funny.
Yeah.
Right. Is I'd like to see them detail and bullet point out what the company standards are for what is deemed offensive. Because I guarantee you that we could head over to Peacock right now and just randomly select 10 shows, and we're going to find at least half of them that could be questionable, right? Or going to be borderline offensive to somebody.
Yeah. I mean, like you had mentioned, The Office, like they make fun of handicapped people and make fun of fat people, specifically Michael on the show. You know, it's
The amount of sexism.
Oh, Jesus. There's tons of it there. You know, we're going to throw you a golden shower. Like, my goodness. Like, right. So anyways,
let's, and the funny thing is, the funniest part of the whole thing is,
yeah,
the TV shows that are actually successful in a 2021 context, the shows that people actually watch
are offensive,
are the shows that say, screw it, we don't care.
Yeah, it's true. It's very, very true. Tying into this as well here, we're talking Hall of Fame inductees. And you know what? And I'll tie this into the other topic too, because I think it all kind of coincides together. Some Hall of Fame inductees for specifically one in the 2001 class here that seems to have people just outraged. And we're talking the great Khali, right? As soon as that one dropped, I mean, the internet literally losing their shit. I'll just come out and say it. And you have hit on this before here, Jargo, and I think it's very, very true when it comes to not only this situation, but just wrestling kind of in general. And specifically, I think with WWE, it seems to happen a lot. People just being addicted to being outraged about this kind of stuff. I mean, for me, when I saw the great Khali's announcement for to get into the Hall of Fame and given what they want to do in India, it made perfect sense to me. You know, they're making a big push into that market. The dude's basically not necessarily a god over there, but I mean, he's one of their top celebrities over there. And he's very, very well known. So, I mean, I totally get it. But I mean, the internet wrestling community just absolutely losing their shit when it comes to this one. Oh, how dare they put him in? This isn't a real Hall of Fame. I'm like, my God, it's crazy.
It's never been a real Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know.
It only exists in Vince McMahon's mind.
It's the Vince McMahon boys club. I've always kind of referred to it as that.
Here's my problem. It's not just the great Khali. Do you got the entire list of inductees there in front of you? I know it's Bischoff, Molly Holly, the great Khali,
RVD,
Rob Van Dam, there's one more.
Kane. Yeah.
Who's the headliner?
Kane.
Who is going to get me to actually tune in to watch this thing that always runs entirely too long, is incredibly boring. There's not going to be any fans there. Like,
it's going to be Kane.
There is nothing here to get me to watch this.
It's going to be Kane.
There's no headliner. Kane is a great number two.
Yeah.
But and ever since Batista came out and said, hey, yo, sorry, I got better things to do.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have a headliner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you got to believe too, though, you know, Batista, you know, he had other obligations, whatever the case might be. He just didn't want to go there in an empty arena or, you know, an empty studio.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to have that moment. So, and I think maybe they intentionally went this route, Jargo, where you didn't have to have that overwhelming, that total wow factor. Because it's not going to be, the spectacle that it is. Now you gotta remember,
so what's
too,
the solution?
It's going to be
add in the great Khali and hope a whole bunch of people in India watch it. So you can spike a number for NBC Universal and make them feel like, hey, we really spent $1 billion in the right place here, guys.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't affect our ratings from India, but.
Well, there are no ratings.
So anyway, back to Khali here. You know what always gets me, and anybody that gets so worked up over the damn Hall of Fame, I can almost go down that list and defend anyone that is in there for different reasons, because this is a variety show. There's different contributions, and it's not because, you know, somebody books you to, you know, be a upteen time world champion and all these great WrestleMania moments. No, there's more that goes into it, and you know, and how you can contribute to the locker room. If you're a leader there, you look at Khali. Yeah, a large part of this is that connection, that building, continuing that bridge to India, where he's over there running shows and he's helping find talent and prepare them for the WWE. He's over there selling out 50,000 seat arenas on his shows. Yeah. And outside of WrestleMania, SummerSlam, something like that, WWE can't even do that here.
Yeah, right. Just to add on, because you had asked what the entire list is, Jerry. I do have the whole list on here. A couple of them, I think, I'm not sure if they're confirmed, but I'll read them out here. So, because they're doing a double class this year too, right? We're doing the 2020. So I'll start with that one. We've got JBL, British Bulldog, Jushin Thunder Liger, the NWO, which I think that could potentially be your headliner, the Bella Twins, which I'm not sure if that one is actually confirmed or not. And then for the 2021 class, we have Molly Holly, Eazy-E, Mr. Eric Bischoff, Kane, Great Khali, and Rob Van Dam. That's the whole thing.
Is it all going to be one ceremony, or are they doing two?
I don't know.
Well, you got to remember, because I think it's going to be a much different presentation than we're used to. Obviously, because, I mean, it might just be in a studio somewhere, because they're moved. This thing is on Tuesday night.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to watch it.
I think it's going to be all Skype and Zoom calls, right?
I haven't seen anything with the presentation, how they're planning on presenting this thing at all.
Yeah.
My thing is,
Tuesday night, they're probably hoping to grab a few people that are just kind of leisurely, you know, watching television, might stop, you know, check in on the thing.
You got to go again, though. What is the expectation for the ratings this week? I mean, we are going to get bombarded with WWE. Yeah. I mean, we've got a whole week starting tonight.
Yep.
And basically 2 weeks, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jargo's taking the whole week off, so this better be good, right?
It's starting next Monday. Starting next Monday is where you get that whole big week of it.
Has there ever been less interest around WrestleMania week?
It's pretty low. You know, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, because
they have not built real stars, and they haven't relied on bringing back one of those big names this year.
Yep.
So we're just rolling with the roster, and I agree with you 100%. The enthusiasm that you can see in any of the wrestling circles we run in, it's just not there for WrestleMania this year. Yeah.
And when it comes to the Hall of Fame, I mean, I can pick three that legitimately interest me. I mean, the British Bulldog, of course, you know, given, you know, my childhood and watching wrestling, Mr. Jushin Thunder Liger, given that I've started to really kind of delve into the New Japan side of things, I'm really excited to see how they'll even have him part of that. And then, of course, Molly Holly for the women's side. I'm genuinely interested to listen to her speech because, I mean, I always thought that she was fantastic.
Hall of Famers. Yeah. The problem is there's nobody there that's a big enough name that's going to get me to tune in and watch it.
That's true. Yeah, like I said, the NWO, I think, will hook some people in, I think.
That, or turn a lot of people off.
Or it could turn a lot of people off, too. And that's a very fair point.
I mean, the last thing I need to see is Hogan walking around patting himself on the back some more.
Again, right? Yeah, we'll see, man. I don't know. I think you really nailed it, that just the interest for not only this, but for the whole WrestleMania weekend. I mean, just looking at the card again, I mean, we've got 11 matches when we combine the two nights.
And nothing there. You're talking about main eventers.
Very weak.
Nothing really screams main event must see at WrestleMania.
No, the best match that they are going to put forward is going to be Edge, Roman, and Bryan, and it's like they have went completely out of their way to make all three of them present as heels. Like, there's not a likable quality about all three of them at this point.
The dynamic is a little weird.
Watching SmackDown this past week, and I was really started thinking about that. It seems that when they went the direction of Edge and Roman, I don't think it hit home. They missed the mark on it like they thought it would, that it would excite people. And it absolutely did not. And it seems that they realized that. And in a pivot, they had to insert Bryan to get some kind of interest. And I will give him credit. I enjoyed this past week's SmackDown. I thought it had a nice flow. And it would really hit home to me is, you know, I'm kind of just reflecting on it there, is the mood, the change in the vibe when you insert Daniel Bryan into a situation. And how impressive that is for him, you know, towards him.
At Fastlane, when everything went down at Fastlane, my question was, do they know they just turned Edge heel? Like, in their booking mind, like, is this justified? Like, do they know they just turned Edge heel? And now it seems like we're just acknowledging that all three of these guys are just terrible humans that I don't want to see any of them.
Or are we kind of going with the AEW approach where everybody's just a competitor? We're all just in the gray area.
That does not work for the main event of WrestleMania.
It does not. It does not. I have always said, and again, I've said before, I may be too old school for my own good, but I like having a good guy and I like having a villain in my matches.
Is your ultimate story here for, you know, the ultimate opportunist was supposed to be that coming full circle.
Right.
You know, his return last year, the injury, the journey back. You're completely thrown that out the window with that.
Yes, sir.
I think, you know, after last year's WrestleMania, Jargo and myself sat down with MSG and the Humming Media Group to do the reviews. And immediately then I said, your main event for next year's WrestleMania needs to be Randy Orton and Edge. Start building that story now. And they completely whipped on that thing.
Yeah. Yep. Now, what do you think, Rick? Because, I mean, it hasn't been changed yet, but I mean, there's some potential for this. What do you think about your precious Char being added to that Asuka and Rhea Ripley match?
Again, forced. Yeah. Absolutely forced.
Again, with the Charlotte getting shoehorned in.
Right.
Yeah, but also on to that, inside of the match itself as it stands here with Ripley and Asuka, why are we just getting this? Where the hell has Ripley been? She was super hot coming out of that Rumble. People were hungry for a new star that, and she disappears without mention for weeks, and then we get these vignettes that she's coming. And then to simply – and this is another reason why this the excitement around this WrestleMania is so low is – holy shit, Fastlane's over. We got 2 weeks till WrestleMania. We better start pointing at the sign and just throwing out challenges left and right. Every segment on Raw, essentially that's what it was. Go out there, demand a match, point at the sign. We're heading to WrestleMania.
Where's
your true excitement? Where the hell has Ripley been at this thing? And if they squeeze her in that thing, squeeze Charlotte in there, complete disaster. On the other side of that too, which you had a hot program, which you could have had some serious build with a great story with Banks and Belair, and they completely just wasted it because they're rush booking it. Now Sasha's just out of nowhere. You know, she comments the other day, "Oh, I started hanging out with Bayley again. That's why she's got this attitude." What?
Let me throw this out to you because before we started today, I kind of dropped this topic a little. But you know what? I'm going to bring it up anyways because I think that it might apply. And I think this is actually a topic that I think might have had Rick a little hot here. So I kind of want to get the take on it. Last year and this year, I think if there would have been a time where WWE could have gotten away with this, you know, due to COVID, I think maybe that they should have to maybe protect the last little bits of credibility that WrestleMania still has, is that they should have just said, you know what, due to COVID, that, you know, this is our Super Bowl, this is our star stud, this is our the grandest stage of them all, we're going to do something different for the sake of protecting the WrestleMania brand. We're not going to do it. Should they have done that? I think last year and this year, part of me thinks that, you know, maybe they should have done something a little bit different and just say, you know what, this isn't WrestleMania worthy. But the only problem then is then you're admitting that your product is weak. That's the only catch there, right?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, one of the things that I've given WWE credit for, and I know it's ego driven, it's just his stubbornness, but Vince pushed through. World needed some kind of outlet, when it needed entertainment, he didn't buckle, he didn't fold like you've seen in college sports. And I know the logistics are so different in comparison. Yeah. You know, people were saying, oh, why is WWE, how can they continue to go forward with this? The colleges are shutting down, you know, the professional sports. Well, it's a different situation. They could contain themselves. They had the support system where they could go and film at the performance center at the time, and then they've worked out some other deals since then. But I want to give them credit because they pushed through. And it's ego-driven. He was going to be damned. Nothing was going to stop him. Now, what's funny now that you mentioned COVID, let's throw another twist into that. They refused to even acknowledge that there was a pandemic going on. It was like banned. It was one of those no-no words for such a long time. Yeah. And now they're getting a payday. And because they're running in front of fans there at Raymond James, they're running them damn PSAs now with encouraging people to wear their masks. That right there is hilarious to me.
Yeah.
And that's all a payday.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, but just part of me, and I totally get what you're saying, but at the same time too, it's like, you know, it's tough. Cause I mean, it is WrestleMania, but like we said before too, is that I think that we're still banking on that name still having that value to people people are, WrestleMania is happening. I'm going to go watch that. I don't think that's necessarily that. And I think this year, especially, I think there's a lot of people that are going to be, well, that's what they've got there. Yeah. I'm not going to bother.
You have to realize that Vince McMahon and Donald Trump are basically the same person.
They are the same person.
Basically, like, personality-wise, they are basically the same person. Mm-hmm. This is par for the course for Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon gets off on this shit. Mm. I mean, that's right. Go back to September 11th, 2001. What was the first big gathering of fans after September 11th?
Yeah.
WWE in Houston.
That's true.
And Vince opened the show with a microphone in his hand.
Yep.
I mean, like, this is very par for the course. Vince wants to be the first one to do it. It's an ego thing for Vince. Yeah. It's a competition thing for Vince. It's Vince against everybody.
It's a fair statement.
Tucker, didn't the rest of the world, I mean, sports world, it shut down, right? I mean, the NFL canceled.
Yep.
Yep.
And baseball, SmackDown everybody went on as scheduled.
Yep. It was eerie because, I mean, even where I was living at the time, you saw planes flying overhead like on a constant basis, and to just see that the sky is just empty with no planes flying around, it was, I still remember that. Jeez, I mean, that's already 20 years ago, I still remember that.
I mean, he's had his own talent die in the ring, or, like, you know, not die in the ring, but a huge train.
Hell, he died himself. He died himself. His car exploded, and then he was there next week, so...
I mean, it's just Vince. That's very much just the person that he is.
That's very, very true.
And then he will tout for the rest of his life how we were the first ones. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, man. But putting myself in the shoes of somebody who, you know, is like a casual fan of WWE or somebody who's been away from the proc for a little while, like if I'm looking at what they've got going on, I don't see a lot of those people tuning in, unfortunately.
Why would they?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to give people a reason to tune into the show.
Yep.
And they've just quit doing that over the course of the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I mean, it used to be like we'd be sitting here on Monday afternoon. If we were having this conversation in 1998, the three of us would be sitting here just salivating, waiting for Nitro to start, waiting for Raw to start. What's Austin going to do tonight? What's Sting going to do tonight?
Dude, Carl and I were calling each other.
I mean, it was must-see television because there was a hook week to week. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And now it's just... I don't care.
It was literally like Carl would be watching WWE. I'd be watching WCW and we'd be calling each other. Be like, hey, you got to switch over to this show. You got to switch over to what I'm watching. You got to see what's going on right now. But now it's just like, it's like radio silence. You know, it's watch whatever we watch.
I went out and bought a second television so I didn't have to switch.
Yep.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Get a cable splitter, run it off onto both of them. You betcha.
Yeah, for sure. I think I taped the other one and I would watch the other one live.
And you know what? It just wasn't, you know, those of us inside the bubble they were excited for. I mean, you could go out in public.
Oh,
you saw the Austin 316 t-shirt. You saw whatever, the merchandise. People were openly having conversations in restaurants and bars, things like that, about professional wrestling because it was such a commodity. It was the hot ticket.
Yeah. You know,
wow, you know what, Joe? You saying that about taping one of them, it just like triggered a memory in my head that I haven't thought about
in
like 20 years. That's when I got into video editing.
Nice.
Because I would record both shows. And me and my friends, we would do like music videos.
That's
where
cool.
You would just like edit like different parts of, you know, Jeff Hart, like a Jeff Hardy highlight match tape.
Very cool.
You know what I mean? And so you'd have like three VCRs running so you could splice between the two. And like, that's where my obsession for video editing started.
Very cool.
That's
very cool.
Crazy.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's before we go for our break here, let's do a little bit of breaking news. I don't think there's much in breaking news, but there's a couple things I want to bring up here. So here we go. All right, so for breaking news this week, I don't know if you guys have anything that you want to kind of touch on, but the big one that stood out to me, well, it's not necessarily a big one, but I think it's interesting, to say the least. Aleister Black. What's the future of this dude? For me, just looking at what's going on, some of the cryptic stuff that he's kind of doing, I mean, this guy is on his way out the door, right? What do you think, Jargo?
Oh, clearly. I mean, we're going to see the return of Tommy End, and it's probably going to be Wednesday nights on TNT. I mean, Aleister Black, I think he is going to be quite a hot commodity, and just because of the way this entire thing has went down. Let's remember, Aleister Black, the reason that he got sidelined, well, there was two things, really.
Yeah.
Number one, he was a Paul Heyman guy,
yes, sir.
And when they took Paul Heyman out of creative, they had nothing for Aleister Black. And number two was, you know, the fact that his wife was trying to unionize the wrestlers, and he ended up getting all the heat for it.
Yeah.
I mean, so Aleister hasn't even been on TV in like 6 months. I think he is going to be one of these guys where there was so much upside to Aleister Black. I think a lot of people saw the upside to Aleister Black, and we were afraid Vince is not going to get Aleister Black. And clearly we were right.
Yeah.
But I think somebody like Cody absolutely might get Tommy End.
Do you think that maybe if he would have stayed in NXT, that maybe he would have stood more of a chance?
Well, I mean, look at this push between the two promotions.
Well, I think it's very different.
In NXT, he continues to be protected by Triple H.
Yeah.
Now, I think...
And the size.
In the size.
I mean, you put Aleister Black in the ring with Roman, he's going to look freaking tiny. You put him in there with Adam Cole, and he can match up. You put him in there with Kenny Omega, he can match up. You put him in there with Drew McIntyre, he's going to get laughed out of the building.
Because weight-wise, he actually qualifies as a cruiserweight, which is insane.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what's maybe a bigger question here, another topic to spin off of it is that continued? You saw it with Andrade. All these hits in NXT, these Triple H pet projects that get so over there, and they completely flop. They just do not transition. It's going to be very interesting to see how they handle Ripley. You think it's a can't miss, right? Let's see how they do it, because they've already, I mean, just the vignette, just cool her off after that Hot Rumble we were talking about, and then boom. How are they going to present her going forward? You guys are talking about the release there of Black.
Yeah.
I think it was Stevie Richards was talking about this maybe on the Friday locker room. Don't be so sure if this is one of those just dick moves by the company where, okay, you're trying to get fired. You're trying to force your hand. We have issues with your wife. So on and so on. You know what? We're just going to keep paying you and not using you.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
And if he does go there, I think
and they'll do it just to spite.
Yeah.
They don't care.
And there'll definitely be a 90-day clause there if he does leave.
Well, definitely... if he the question is, how long does he have on his contract?
Yeah.
Because if he rides out the contract, there is no 90 days. The 90 days is only if you're granted a release.
That's true. The other one I want to touch on is Charlie Caruso, kind of like their backstage interviewer person. Looks like she's moving it to ESPN on a full-time basis. So I guess that means she's done with WWE, right?
That's how you fail upwards. evidently, there was some heat on her backstage for being late, not showing up in time for a couple of pre-tapes.
Promotion!
Yeah, and when you look at NXT, if there's one thing that NXT is actually produced, it's a bunch of commentators that are all exactly the same, whether they're the cute girl backstage doing the interviews or whether it's, you know, the Mitchell Cole clones that you have calling the action. So, yeah. I mean, that's one thing that they have gotten right down there.
Yeah. I mean, personality-wise, I thought she was okay. I mean, I think she did rather well. I mean, she wasn't anything spectacular. I think she does better than to make a reference to one that stands out in a bad way. It'd be like Mae Valentine and NWA. I mean, she's somebody I mean, she could probably get better with time, but she like just feels kind of weird. But
she was fine, but she was the chick that you got if Renee Young wasn't available. I mean, that is her WWE legacy.
Yeah, for sure. All right, before we do our break, you know what? We might as well do our match of the week segment here. All All right, so for match of the week, I think I'll start with my guest here, and let's go counterclockwise. Let's start with you, Rick. What was your match of the week? Because I know you always come with this bit of an interesting angle, so I'm curious what you got this week.
Well, I did come prepared this week on this one. I always forget that there's a match of the week segment. But hey, it was just the match that you asked me, what the hell was I doing before we went on air? What was that weird noise? I was watching a match, and it comes from our brother over at the Hameen Media Group, the good doctor, the other doctor, not Dr. Jarko.
Yes.
Dr. Ted McNaylor, the man beast. He was back in action. It was the reunion of the Mobile Homers. They were taking on the Outrunners. So you can either just go over on Facebook and look up Ted McNaylor. He's got the links there. Or go look up the reunion of the Mobile Homers on YouTube. Check out the match that they just had.
Very
cool.
Great
gimmick.
Very cool. What do you got, Jargo?
I'm going to go back in time, and I'm going to go forward in time to talk about kind of one entire thing, since you didn't toss to Rick or I when it comes to breaking news, because you know you're a Canadian douchebag.
I forgot about that.
So I'm gonna wrap all three of these things together.
Sure.
We are going to have, from last week, we had Will Ospreay versus Shingo Takagi in the New Japan Cup final. Coming up this weekend, it's going to be Will Ospreay versus Kota Ibushi for the brand spanking new IWGP World's Heavyweight Championship. We are combining both the IWGP Heavyweight title and the Intercontinental title into one belt so that Kota Ibushi can lose it to Kenny Omega and have it be another world title for the belt collector. But here's the thing that really rubs me the wrong way about this, guys. This will be the first defense of the championship. Everything since 1972 never happened.
Why would you throw away that lineage?
Why would you say they're peacocking it?
Yes, very much so.
Fair point.
I mean, what are they? Why would you do this?
Why
would you do a WCW reboot when you don't need a WCW reboot?
It feels so un-New Japan. I mean, when you look at the legacy of that title, I mean, god damn, like,
why would you do that?
Not just New Japan, Joe. It doesn't seem like the Japanese culture wise.
Yeah.
They honor their history so much.
Yes, to drop all that lineage, just
baffling.
Why?
Baffling. I don't understand it. Did you have any breaking news you wanted to touch to, Rick? Because as Jargo had mentioned, I was being kind of a Canadian douchebag and kind of skipping past you guys there.
I'm good, man.
You're good? Okay. For me, for match of the week, then, mine is coming from Ring of Honor's 19th anniversary show. Actually, as we were kind of getting ready to start here, I was just getting ready to watch the final match, so I still have to go through and watch that. But my match of the week is coming from this show, and specifically, it was a grudge match between Mr. Jay Briscoe and Mr. EC3. A really, really good match. I'm really digging this character that EC3's got going on in Ring of Honor. Dude is just jacked. You can tell that he's been hitting the gym hard, and that character just it's really interesting. I'm glued to the screen in a good way watching that, and just it's Jay Briscoe. I mean, former Ring of Honor World Champion. These guys put on a great match, and it's just absolutely fantastic if you get a chance to watch it.
Speaking of Ring of Honor, though, is Andrade, is that where he's headed?
I don't know. I've made that pitch. I know Jargo doesn't like it.
I don't like it at all. Yeah. I think you're going to either diminish Andrade or Roosh straight out of the gate. You're going to have two alphas in the room, and it is just not going to work. My thing with
maybe you swerve it, have him go and challenge Roosh.
See, that could work, I think.
Yeah, but then you have that brings up a lot of problems. It's probably a whole other podcast. My thing with the EC3 and Jay Briscoe. From what I have seen of the match, I haven't seen it in its entirety, but it was good. My problem was the adherence to the code of honor at the end of the match. Like, I don't feel like Jay Briscoe should be given EC3 any kind of respect.
Because they went out of their way to do the opposite.
They had a 25-minute knockdown drag out. Like, no, Jay Briscoe should have, kicked EC3 right square in the nuts and left him laying there.
Yep, because they went out of their way at the beginning of the match to really emphasize that point. So I will say that was a little bit of a flaw in the psychology. I agree 100%.
And especially with Jay Briscoe. You could have done that with a ton of guys on the... Like, if that would have been Jay Lethal... That would have worked, but with Jay Briscoe,
I don't even think that it really fits the EC3. kind of persona. You
know, right. Fair point. It's a fair point. The other one that I just want to make mention from the show, since we have a little bit of extra time, I thought we'd touch on some of this other stuff here. They did kind of like a cinematic type of match too, with Vincent and Matt Taven, which was actually pretty good. Resulted it was actually considered an unsanctioned match and actually went to a no contest. So it was interesting to see
that work, right?
Yeah, it was interesting to see Ring of Honor take this somewhat cinematic approach. Like, it almost looked like they're wrestling like in a training center type of a thing. It was really different for them, but it was cool. I mean, I've always been a fan of Matt Taven, and usually when he's in there doing his thing, I will say that over on the Love Wrestling side of things, Spencer just interviewed Matt a little while ago, and I still am of the train of thought that I think his Ring of Honor title reign was really underrated and went kind of unappreciated by a lot of people. I mean, he carried them for a good portion of time there, and I think he did rather well.
He was kind of like a JBL-like champion,
yeah.
You know, where he was a really, really good champion, but nobody had any respect for him.
And it was interesting.
Clearly, the problem is they should have put the title on Marty at the Garden.
Yeah.
I mean, that it was just Taven was due for a run with the title. You could clearly tell that's where the storyline was going. But Marty was so hot that they should have made that pivot at that time.
And it was interesting.
I'm with you. I love Taven.
And it was interesting at the time because shortly after that, you know, they did the War of the Worlds tour and they actually came to Toronto, which I ended up going to. And it was interesting because I actually got to hold on to the title. And as I'm looking at it, it still had Jay Lethal's name on it at the time, which I thought was a little interesting what they were kind of doing there with that. On the show, too, another one to make mention of, the match itself was really good, but just to... the thing that really stood out for me, we're talking Jonathan Gresham versus Dak Draper. They did a pure rules match with those two. I mean, you want to talk size difference between two dudes? Like, holy shit. I mean, Dak is, I know Gresh is a small guy, but I mean, Dak made him look like a midget.
Well, we know Gresham is a small guy until, like, you actually see Jonathan Gresham in person, and then you realize he is a small guy.
He is a little dude.
And I mean, he's a little dude. What is he, like 5'7"?
Yeah, he's small.
Yeah, I'm not even sure he's that big.
I should actually
look. That might be a pro wrestling 5'7". You know what I mean? Kind of like Adam Cole, 6 foot tall.
5'4". And to make it sound even smaller, if we were to do it in metric measurements, he's 163 centimeters tall.
I don't know what that means. I think you're just making stuff up. Rick, I guess my question to you is this pure rule stuff going to work? Like, I realize that, you know, there's a lot of people, including myself, that I just enjoy the art of professional wrestling. I don't necessarily need all the story and whatnot. Two guys fighting over a championship, that's enough for me. But once this pandemic is over, like, I feel like ROH doing this whole pure thing is really, really cool inside of the pandemic era. But once the pandemic era is done, is this going to fly? Like, that was always kind of the problem with the entire pure division to begin with.
For somebody like me that actually enjoys the technical aspects of professional wrestling, you know, given I watch a lot more New Japan now and I do watch a fair amount of Ring of Honor, it hits the mark with me. But for like WWE fans and like the more kind of casual fan that is more into like the sports entertainment, they're going to look at this and find it boring. Let's be perfectly honest.
What you're really doing here is you're catering to a niche inside of the niche.
Inside of a bubble.
Bubble inside of the bubble.
Yeah.
But why does it have to be pure wrestling? Shouldn't it just be wrestling? My issue with it is if you're casual, you're flipping by, it overcomplicates things. For you to grow your audience, you need to simplify.
Yep.
And it's simple as what it is. You know, it's a good guy versus a bad guy. You're in there in a competition trying to better one of, you know, the other. Keep it simple. Yep. When you get into these rules and these people are trying to tune into this thing, people just want to be entertained with wrestling.
Just before we take a brief break here and come back with our showstopper segment, my only kind of complaint, and I'm sure that you guys will feel me on this one, they had Shane Taylor Promotions on the pre-show. Boo Earns. Boo Earns. You got to have him on the main show, man.
The problem is they have those damn Trios belts and nobody cares about Trios wrestling in the United States.
Yeah, unfortunately,
it has
never
caught on regardless of how much they try to push it. It's the same way in Japan with the Never Six Man Openweight Championships. It's Trios wrestling. It has never caught on anywhere in the world. except for Mexico.
Yeah.
And I understand there is a huge lucha influx inside of Ring of Honor right now, but they've had these belts for years and they have just never worked.
Yeah. Again, it's, you know, you're overcomplicating things. You go back to, you know, the territory days, to early WCW, even their six man. It just could not get over.
Yeah.
And it's just part of the, it's there. And you had heard, you know, you'd heard the rumblings that AEW was thinking about introducing would be a complete mistake.
Please don't. Please don't. Please don't.
The only time that it's really worked in the States that I can remember was the Freebirds down in World Class when they would do like Von Erichs versus Freebirds.
Yeah.
And that was just because, you know, they would build so much heat because of the Freebird rule that eventually three baby faces would want to get all three of the Freebirds in the ring at the same time. That's rather right. than, you know, we're fighting you two guys and that other guy on the outside is going to cheat at some point. Well,
anything down there at World Class, I mean, you get the Von Erichs involved and people were going to eat it up, especially the heat that you had on the Birds.
Yeah, that was a great rivalry back then. I think maybe for the trios, maybe somewhere where it maybe worked in a modern context a little bit would maybe Lucha Underground. Maybe. I think just by giving that head more kind of like a Mexican kind of feel to it, I think it worked.
I'm rewatching Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
I love Lucha Underground. It's one of my favorite television shows in the history of freaking television shows.
Yeah.
But Lucha Underground, like if you want to talk about a trios title catering to a bubble inside of the bubble.
Oh, yeah.
This was the like smallest bubble that you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Yeah. Did anything work at Lucha Underground? Because, I mean, if Lucha Underground would have worked, wouldn't it still be around?
Yeah.
I mean, it was around for four TV seasons, and then it went away. So did any of it work?
I was a big fan of the first season of it, but then after that, it kind of trailed off for me a little bit, I'll be honest with you. That initial charm wore off after the first season.
The main event of the first episode is Ricochet versus John Morrison.
Yeah.
And it was really like, you know, it was the beginning of the Morrison comeback tour. It was his first match in like 3 years. And it was really the American introduction to Ricochet / Prince Puma. And they go out there for 25 minutes, tear the freaking house down. And I look at where they're at now and they're making a whole lot more money. But boy, does it seem like that was a long time ago.
It really, really does. All right, guys, let's take a bit of a brief break here, and let's hear from our friends over at collarandelbowbrand.com, and we'll come back with our showstopper segment for this week.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The Wrestling Brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
Dictionary defines hero as a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. Being a hero in life is far more than words printed on a page. It takes an unwavering code, a compass that points true north always. And in times like these, it takes sacrifice. Hero shouldn't be a word defined by a dictionary. It's a word that should be defined by the best of us. Hero has a new definition.
All right, guys, my Joe Morin and Mr. Richard Bronson Vickery and Michael Jargo back here on Turnbuckle Talk. As you saw from our friends over at collarandelbowbrand.com, if you use our promo code JKPODCAST, you can get 10% off. Not just one thing, you purchase your entire order there, so go crazy. They just recently dropped a whole bunch of new merchandise there. They're killing it with their merchandise over there, so make sure and check it out. And that 10% off gets you a deal, and we get a little kickback from that, so you're helping to directly support the podcast with that. So some very cool stuff there. All right, guys, let us get to our showstopper segment for this week.
Mm-hmm.
right, so for this week, I thought we would tackle something non-wrestling related for our Showstopper segment. I thought we would kind of give you sort of a, maybe a little bit of inside about stuff maybe people wouldn't necessarily know about us. So I was hoping to have Carl for this segment this week and Ryan, but I do have Rick and Jargo here for this. So I thought, you know, we'd, you know, whatever you guys feel comfortable with to kind of let people know some things about yourselves that maybe people wouldn't necessarily know. Maybe things that you're into, music that you like, or whatever, whatever it be, we'll kind of go around and just kind of let people know some stuff that that you feel like letting people know about.
I got to tell you, I had a little bit of trouble with this one.
Yeah.
You know, from, you know, podcasting over, heck, probably, what, 4.5, 5 years. I feel that we've, you know, if you listen to us on any of our platforms, yeah. If it's, you know, when we're doing guest spots here, Turnbuckle Talk, the Hitting the Marks, Hameen Media Group, that I put a lot of things out there. I just don't know what, you know, what maybe someone hasn't heard about me.
The one that you shared in our chat is a good one if you want to kick off with that one.
I know, but I thought about it. I think I've shared that on air. But yes, if you go to my web browser and press P, the letter P, you're going to get Pornhub immediately.
I could just imagine. My Google history is probably really sketchy too.
Guys are a bunch of perverts. That's what's going on here.
Hey, I'm not going to deny it.
You know, Rick, I had exactly the same thought. We have done hundreds of hours of podcasting together over the course of the last going on 4 years now. I don't know what I could possibly begin to tell people. And then it kind of occurred to me that my life is actually very, very sad. And I have no hobbies because I'm too busy producing podcasts. You know what I mean? Like with what we do at Hitting the Marks, the deconstruction of media, keeping up with New Japan over at Destino, that's what else is there to do, man? Like most of my hobbies, I would say over the course of the last 5 years, aren't even my freaking hobbies. When you get to be my age and you're married and you have 3 kids, guess what? Your hobbies are whatever they want to do. Well, you know what I mean? It's funny because it's true. Like, yeah. And I feel like that's one of the keys to parenting is taking an interest in whatever it is that your kids' hobbies are and kind of making them your own so that you can still have that bonding time between you and your freaking kids.
Well, there's some stuff we could touch on. I mean, because especially on Turnbuckle Talk here, some of our listeners might not necessarily be aware of some of the things with you guys, like with Jargo. I mean, there's a lot of people who watch Turnbuckle Talk that might not be aware that you used to be in the music business and that a lot of the music for your show is actually stuff that you were a part of.
Yeah, and that's probably the only reason that Hitting the Marks is not going through the same thing that Hami Media is going through right at the moment.
Yeah,
because there is a huge crackdown on copywritten material inside of podcasting. It's gotten absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I'm entitled to as much of that copyright as anybody else is. So there is that. But yeah, all the music that you hear on Hitting the Marks, the intro, the outro, it's all Left 4 Dead. Good times.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for myself, I mean, something that maybe people aren't aware of that I'm into is when it comes to my musical taste, since we're talking about music, is that I'm a big fan of 80s new wave music.
Never would have guessed that.
Never would have guessed that. See, I mean, I was a child. I was born August 21st, 1980. So I'm an 80s baby. You know, one of the first TV shows I can recall ever watching being a little child was Miami Vice. So I think that's where a lot of that kind of came from. I have a real soft spot, almost like a guilty pleasure when it comes to 80s new wave and that alternative music during that time. You know, a lot of that synthesizer based stuff.
One that I always find incredible, it's just so random. Rick and I are about 24 hours apart as far as our age goes.
Right?
I am the elder member of the Hitting the Marks podcast by roughly 24 hours. And that's just insane. Like, what were the odds of that, you know?
Yeah. People might not know about Carl and myself. I'm actually the older of the two. I'm a year older than he is. So a lot of people think that he's older than I am, or maybe they think the other way around. But I'm actually the older of the two.
Maybe I don't talk about it as often on air. A little fun RBV fact that, I guess when it comes to your hobbies, things that you study, you research, I'm completely fascinated with like the Old West. in all things from, you know, just their daily lifestyle to, you know, how they got by and, you know, the Western expansion. So inside of that, though, man, I probably in a week watch like 20 hours of Gunsmoke.
In that same vein,
I'm very, very different because I'm busy researching how octopi are going to take over the world and we will all be kneeling before our tentacled overlords.
In that same vein,
could use this as a platform for a big announcement too that we've got going on.
Yeah, for sure. In that same kind of vein, with TV shows, something that people might not be aware of, with Jargo and I, we're big fans of Ancient Aliens.
Yeah,
I effing love that show. I love that show.
I watch it all day on Friday, but I cannot stay on that show.
I actually have the box set of the entire series. So there you go.
The point of every episode is, our ancestors were idiots. They could not possibly do that themselves. They had to have gotten help.
Right.
Now you guys are into the
aliens. Which is accurate, though. That's accurate.
You guys are into the aliens. I have just recently, it's a brand new show. It's only been on maybe like a month and a half, 2 months tops. But it's on Sci-Fi. It airs on Wednesdays after after wrestling goes off the air. But I can't think. Resident Alien.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tremendous, man. It's had me hooked. I make sure that I'm there each and every Wednesday to watch that thing. But they actually had the crazy haired guy from Ancient Aliens was on this past week.
Yes.
So yeah, the alien, he's trying to find a piece of alien technology so that he can fix his device. So he goes to a sci-fi convention. So he's walking around all these different aliens.
Very cool.
2021.
Even for myself in that same conversation, for those who want to check it out, this is just something that's a little stupid I do on the side. I have a Facebook page that's called Proof Aliens Have Done Everything, where I just post little memes talking about how aliens have done everything. I do it if not every day, I do it every once in a while. And I've actually picked up quite a few followers on that. Like every day I get like 50 people that hop onto that thing that are new. So, but yeah, check that out if you like stupid alien humor. All right. Well, before we go here, let's go around the table and give a chance. You guys had mentioned that you have something new that you might want to announce. This would be the platform to do it if you want. Go ahead, guys.
Go ahead. It's going to be us. We're going to be stepping outside of the podcasting realm for another project. Jargo is going to be coming to Ohio to work with us for the Pro Wrestling Alliance May 15th. He's going to be handling our production. So it'll be nice. Jargo, myself, and the man with the book, Chad McNaylor. Nice. So we're all going to be working together on an actual pro wrestling event. We've got a hell of a lineup. Some very talented individuals on the roster. We're looking forward to it's going to be a tremendous show. Saturday, May 15th, Greenfield, Ohio. It is the PWA Great American Rumble. We're going to be crowning. We're going to have obviously a Rumble style gauntlet, over the top style match to crown our first Great American Champion.
I needed to talk to you about that because we may have a little bit of an issue. And the issue is we were talking about that this morning on the Monday Locker Room over at Hameen Media, and we got some heat, man. We got some heat because Hameen is not booked on that show. And if you're having a rumble and anybody can show up and start eliminating people, you know, you may end up with a Hameen showing up and just shooting on everybody. Hameen walks out with the PWA championship and now everything is in chaos after the first show. It's a real possibility. He was hot, man. He was hot.
He is laid into me and Beast over there on it. And we just tell him, like, dude, Ben, we're going to bring you in next show. Shut the hell up. Next show.
Man, we're going to get $5 face slaps. And, you know, he's going to call it our yearly bonus.
Nice. And, yeah, Jargo, you've got another show coming out soon that I believe is going to be on the daily basis, right?
It's going to be a little bit of a different format, kind of under a soft launch at this point over at michaeljargo.com. You can find a bit of a teaser trailer over there. And that's well done, by the way. With Jargo. It will not be starting until I am located inside of my new studio. So, I mean, we may be 3 weeks away from the launch. We may be 3 months away from the launch. And hell, I mean, you know, it might be November. So Everything is kind of in soft launch mode right at the moment. But, you know, I figure if Dan Bongino can tease that he's taking over the Rush Limbaugh time slot for 2 months, I've got plenty of time to get all of my ducks in a row. I can't believe that they're going to have that guy take over that time slot.
Right.
Not because I have anything against Dan Bongino. I very much like Dan Bongino. But why does he have his head so far up Donald Trump's ass? He can tell you how healthy his kidneys are. My God, dude, move on. It's over.
You know, on that note, if you still have a Trump banner up or a yard sign,
right?
Please take it down. Put it away.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Jargo, just recently you had another episode of Destino that dropped as well, right, with Pause. And you had another guest on there too, I believe, right?
Mr. John Enright.
John Enright, yeah.
Down in Texas. We were talking about the kind of the fallout of this entire Will Ospreay, B. Priestley angle, because it has become an entire thing. It's funny because most of the internet seems outraged by this, and most of my friends are like, it's pro wrestling. Y'all need to calm down.
Right. I want to agree 100%. For myself, coming up later this week for Turnbuckle Rewind, we've got an interesting one lined up for you guys here. We're going back to 1999 with ECW Hardcore Heaven with Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn for that television title. That's going to be a fun match to break down and watch. I think you guys are going to enjoy that one.
Man, the series of matches those two guys had.
Good stuff.
Holy crap.
Good stuff, man. And I thought, too, it would tie into him going into the Hall of Fame as well. So it made that was actually one of Carl's picks that we're doing. And it's going to be a hell of a good time watching that match. Anything from ECW at that time frame was insane. So looking forward to it. All right. And make sure and give you guys a chance to get the social media plugged up there. I almost forgot as well.
MichaelJargo.com. All you got to do.
That's all you got
to
do.
Everything's there. Right? Links to everything.
And then hashtag RBV Fitness for Rick, right?
Yep, at the real RBV.
All right, well, like I said, about wraps up here for this week. We'll see you guys on the next one.
It's an RBV to be. As you can tell in the background, we are out celebrating. That is what we do here at HittingTheMarks.com. And I invite everyone to continue to tune in to Turnbuckle Talk, but check out all of our other shows. We have content, especially lit up by the flagship show. You can find that all at HittingTheMarks.com.
Run.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.